What I call this tonight is what grace will do. And I want to talk to you about that. See, I believe that we see grace throughout the entire Bible. And I know this is a healing school, but bless God, if you will fully understand grace, it'll be easy to get healed. And I wish that somebody had taught me this when I first got saved. I spent the first 7 years of my Christian life trying to feel saved. Just going back to the altar and getting saved every week and trying to, you know, just, I knew I'd done something that whole week that got me out of the kingdom and I had to get back in the next week. And you know, I just tried my best and I stayed in the Word, and the only time I felt saved was when I was in the Word. So I want to teach you that, because if you know, you have this covenant with God, and it's a covenant with grace which provides all you ever need. And that healing is there, and it's there for us. And all we have to do is take it, and we've been trying to get God to give it to us. And He's already given it. And all we have to do is receive it. Now you say, well, you've told us this. Yes, and I'm going to keep telling you until we all get it, till I get it. How's that? You know, we leak. And we learn some of these things, and then we leak it out. And so we need to keep that before us so that we know who we are and what belongs to us, and then just go get it. Well, sister, that's pride. No, that's not. That's doing what God said do. Hallelujah. So Romans 1:16, I love this scripture. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And I want to talk to you about the gospel. The gospel. Some of this stuff that's being preached is not gospel. You know what gospel means? It means good news. Good news. And you know what? Some of the stuff I've heard preached, hey, you rotten sinner, you're going to hell. Well, I knew that already. I needed something to tell me that I wasn't going to have to go. You know, we need to have that just so embedded in us, who we are, and knowing that God loves you. And He loved me so much. He sent His Son, and His Son did all that stuff that I can possibly do. I just couldn't do it. I tried. Man, I tried. I couldn't fix myself. I tried that too. All those years just kept trying to fix myself, and I could not fix myself. So I had to depend on God just to fix me. Hallelujah. And maybe you think I'm not fixed yet, but honey, I'm a sight better than I used to be. I can hear Roy saying amen. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And see, if Jesus said that he provided my healing and my salvation, and every week I'm going back and begging Him to save me again, that's not faith. You know, He said the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. Hallelujah. And I was putting no faith in what He'd already done. You know, He'd already done that. And I hadn't put any faith in that. I'm still trying to feel something, you know? Hallelujah. I don't have to feel anything. Praise God for feeling. I like it. But man, I lived for 7.5 years without any feeling. But I knew this word was true, and I intended to take it and make it work, and that's what I've been doing. Hallelujah. So the gospel means good news. And what is this good news about? You know, what is the good news? It's the good news concerning Christ. Well, what is the good news concerning Christ? In Galatians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace. Now, you know what? I didn't have any peace. I was always, I could get up in the morning, I think, boy, this is the day. I'm going to live. I'm going to do everything right today. Before I got to the kitchen sink, I'd already thought a bad thought. I know none of you have ever done that. You're so perfect. But bless God. I mean, I just couldn't seem to make it. But bless God, He made it for me. And that was the best news I could get, was that He made it for me. Grace be unto you, and peace from God. God has given us peace through Jesus Christ. Peace from God. Receive it. Hallelujah. You're all worried about things. Forget that. Just receive the peace. Hallelujah. See, I can have peace in the midst of a storm. You know, the other night, bless God, that that storm came, you know, and I put the blood on all of you that I could think of. I put it around your house, and I just bound the enemy. And all of a sudden, that siren went off. You know, it just... And I said, you lift up in Jesus' name. You will not touch my house. Get away. Well, then the news come on, and they said that two blocks over, there had been a tornado. And when that's what set that alarm off. And I thought, thank God we can have peace. I don't have to be worried that my house is going to blow away. You said, well, somebody's houses did, not mine. They must not have known how to stand on the word of God. They must not have known what authority we have. Because if you know what authority you have, you can protect you and yours. You say, are you saying no bad thing will ever happen to us? No, I'm not saying that. There are bad things happen, but I know the one that can take care of those bad. God can turn everything that happens to me around and make it for my good. Hallelujah. And has. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I love that. Grace be, he said, grace be to you and peace from God your Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. Come on. Ooh, glory to God. Look at this. That he might deliver us from this present world, according to the will of God and our Father. Man, there's some bad things happening in this world. But he said that he might deliver. Just have peace. Just settle into that peace, because he's going to deliver you. Well, if you know you can do that, that'll take care of a whole bunch of stuff. You won't get so sick, because you won't have ulcers. You won't be worrying. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? He gave himself for our sins. That's a very big deal. You know, somebody paid the sin debt off for you. Nobody could but Jesus. Nobody could have done it. No one else was qualified. Hallelujah. Jesus paid our debt. Muhammad couldn't have paid it. Hare Krishna couldn't have paid it. You know, Allah couldn't have done it. Listen, honey, even you going to hell could not pay it. You understand? I could go to hell and it wouldn't help you none. Come on. But Jesus went for me. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. People, this is great. I don't know how you sit there. I think this is wonderful. Jesus had everything it took to take care of the job. And that's a big deal. Somebody loved you enough to buy you back. And honey, you may think he got a big deal when he got you. He got the bottom of the barrel when he got me, but he didn't leave me there. Isn't that neat? Hallelujah. See, I have no grand delusions of grandeur about myself. I know exactly what I was. And I know what I would still be if he hadn't got me. But thank God he got me. Thank God he got me. You know, people who aren't thankful, I can't imagine that. Man, we got to be thankful. We got to begin to praise him. He just does so many good things for us. But Jesus had everything it took to take care of the job. Everything. And you, when you cost him that much, do you think he'll withhold anything from you? Do you think so? If I see one of my kids suffering, I'll do whatever it takes to take care of it. So Jesus did all that. He won't leave you an orphan. He won't. Hallelujah. You know, Romans 8:32 says, he that spared... Now, I want you to think, I know you know these scriptures, but look at them and see what it's really saying to you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Are you part of us all? Yeah. He didn't spare his own son. He delivered Jesus up for me. Hallelujah. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, what do you need tonight? Is it part of all things? Then he said he freely gave us all things. Hallelujah. If God didn't spare his own son but sent him to pay the price, then he said he wouldn't hold anything else back from us. So you have to beg God to heal you. All you got to do is receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Bless God. There was a young man come to me Sunday morning. He had fever and his neck was hurting. And, you know, just instantly... When I prayed for him, and it's not because I prayed, it was his faith. I just get to be the instrument sometimes that God uses. But when I laid hands on him, his neck just quit hurting. And I saw him today, and, you know, he still didn't have any pain. I'm telling you, God is a good God. He's a good God. Yes. Hallelujah. See, now, if I paid your car and your house off, that'd be a big deal, wouldn't it? When you saw me, you'd treat me well, wouldn't you? Yeah, yeah. You'd really take good care of me. Somebody paid your sin debt off. And you don't get what you deserve. You were tried and found guilty. You understand? People say, I don't deserve this. I just don't deserve that. I don't know why this happened. I don't deserve that. Honey, you better be thankful you didn't get what you deserved. Okay? Hallelujah. Come on, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Bless God. No matter what shape I find myself in today, God can help me and get me out. Hallelujah. He can. Yes, we go through some things, but bless God, He's right there. Hallelujah. When I went home the other night from here, I went to bed and my hand began to throb, just throb like crazy. I couldn't get it comfortable. I thought, what in the world's the matter with my hand? So anyway, about 1 o'clock, I got up and took some Tylenol, and that's something I don't usually take anything, but I took some Tylenol just so I could sleep because my hand hurt. The next morning when I got up, it was all swelled and it broke open. It was just infected. And my rings were swelled on there. So I went to the Welkin Clinic, and I just had them look at it, and they said, well, they weren't sure what it was, but they took a culture, and they sent me home with some antibiotics. And by 9:30 that night, my finger was blue, and my rings were swelled on there. So I told Roy, I said, we got to get them off of there because it's cutting off my circulation. So we went to the hospital and went in, and they're all saying, we're so sorry. They didn't want to have to cut my rings off. I had 4 rings on the hand, people. Roy said, from now on, you only wear one. Anyway, they had to cut them off. But before they cut them off, they put a shot right here in my hand. Oh, man. I've had 3 kids and didn't hurt that bad. I mean, it was terrible. It was awful. Anyway, they numbed it, and then he lanced it, and then they gave me a tetanus shot. That was nothing. He said, that's going to hurt. That didn't, I hardly felt that. After that thing in my hand, I thought, whoa. But anyway, then they had to cut my rings off. And so this week, what if I'd have said, Lord, I've been teaching healing, and I told all these people you heal, and what's the matter with you? How come you didn't heal my hand? You know, that don't get you anything, and that's what a whole lot of Christians do. I told the devil, I'll get a testimony out of this yet. Bless God, you leave me alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what it's going to cause me to get my rings fixed, because they couldn't just cut it and spread it. They had to cut big sections out of them. Anyway, but that too will be taken care of. The devil keeps stealing off of me. The Bible says when the thief is caught, he has to pay back 7 times. 7 times. So he owes me a bundle, boy. Hallelujah. Bless God. But anyway, things happen. And you can't feel sorry for yourself. Those people were so kind to me at that hospital. I'm not kidding you. Every single one of them was kind to me. And apologized for what they did. And you know, even as we were going out, they're saying, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. I thought, you know, I'm going to write that hospital and tell them that those people were so kind. People always say when it's bad. You know, we need to tell people when it's good. Hallelujah. But if I, you know, if I paid your stuff off, you'd be real happy with me. You'd take really good care of me. You know, somebody paid off your sin debt, and you don't get what you deserved. You were tried and found guilty. So don't ever say, I don't deserve this. I don't, you know, just don't do that. Hallelujah. Bless God. Just get in your head. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. You know, man, the healing one is on the scene. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. The greater one is on the scene. You understand? The greater one. He's here. Hallelujah. And he's here to heal tonight. Hallelujah. He's here to do what you need. Now, I heard preachers say, you have to be accountable for your sin. And they said it about like that. You know, they preach this Holy Ghost fire stuff. And I'm not saying anything mean about the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying hellfire and brimstone, you know. Rotten, dirty sinners, you're going to go to hell. And somebody's, you know, you got to be accountable for your sin debt. Really? If I do, I'm in trouble, people. Hallelujah. I can't be accountable for my sins. Glory to God. Back then I agreed with him, because I didn't have the revelation on what I'm teaching you now. But you do not get what you deserve. The wages of sin is death. You understand that? You think that Jesus just saved us from our sin and then just played around watching us suffer, you know, through life without any victory, without health, without enough to eat. Do you think he'd do that? Well, there are people on this earth that are starving, yeah, but not believing Jesus, they aren't. Because David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. I just read John G. Lake's Adventures in God. And my goodness, do you know what? They went to Africa. They had $3.12, I think, on the boat. I mean, they got their tickets. They went to the airport without enough, or not to the station where they bought the ticket to go to Africa, because God told them to go. And he had him and his wife and five kids. They didn't have a place to stay. Now, you better not do this unless God tells you to do it. But, you know, he said they had, like, I think $20 or something, and they had to pay that for something. So they ended up with $1.12, and then somebody gave them $2, and so they had $3 and something. I can't remember the exact amount. But anyway, they got on that, and all the way over there, they're praying, God, we need housing. We don't have any housing. And when they got there, somebody came up to the, you know, where they were getting off the boat and said, is there a family here of seven who need a place to live? And he said, yeah, us, me and my wife and our five kids. Well, they had like several other of their team with them that they were leaving for too. But anyway, this family took them in. And I thought, man, isn't that something to believe God for that? I mean, you know, we always want to back up. And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying we. I always want a backup. I want to know I got enough back there to take care of me. But, you know, when we just fall on the Lord and just believe him, he'll take care of us. And people, I'm going to tell you something. If things keep going like they are, what are you going to do if you have something? And I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm trying to get you to believe God, because God will take care of his people. But if something happens where... It's no. I mean, I heard today that so many of these people who thought they had insurance don't have it. And when they got, you know, serious disease and go, somehow this Obamacare or whatever has, they've got messed up in the computer, and they get to the hospital and they have no insurance. What are you going to do in a time like that? You know what? If your job or that insurance is your assurance, then you're in trouble. But I'm going to tell you something. If God is your source, he'll take care of it. I know a man, they had a baby that was, it cost $1 million. That baby was born early and she had all these problems. It was $1 million and the hospital forgave it. Hallelujah. And I know someone else who somebody came in and gave money to pay the hospital. Glory to God. See, God, he can do, and he will take care of us. He has promised. But if you're depending on this world system, you're in trouble. Even, what are you going to do? And none of us is going to face this, but if you went to the doctor and they said cancer, and it's incurable and inoperable. Well, see, there's no such word as incurable with God. There's no such thing, because I know the one that made me, and he can operate on me. Hallelujah. That John G. Lake told about a woman coming and had this tumor, and it just fell off. Just fell off. And I think I told you that Pastor Bev and I prayed for a woman who had a tumor, an ovarian tumor, and I can't remember if it was ovaries or if it was uterus, but anyway, whatever. We prayed for her, and didn't look like anything happened, but she went home and that thing fell out. I mean, think God's doing that stuff now, but he's doing it for people who believe him for it. He won't just do it for pastors. He'll do it for anybody. We get to credit sometime when it's not even our faith at all. You know, bless God. I remember when that little guy come up at 2 o'clock in the morning in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy and couldn't talk, and he was dirty and he smelled bad and he couldn't talk and his body moved all over the place, and I prayed for him and he got healed. And I mean, he got healed. Bless God. He just really, he could walk and talk. And I'm telling you, he got healed. And I thought, oh, glory to God, glory to God. You know, I used my faith and isn't that wonderful? Well, guess what? About 5 years later, this guy met me and he said, Ellen, do you ever hear from TJ? And I said, yeah. And he said, whatever happened to him? I said, well, he got healed. And, you know, he's walking. And he did master's commission at First Assembly, I think 4 years. And he's gone back home now. And he said, that night, he asked us to carry him up the stairs. Because we were up on the second floor and didn't dawn on me how he got there. And he said, we told him, we may not stay as long as you. How are you going to get down? He said, I'm going to walk. We'll walk. He talked like that. And bless God, he did. It wasn't my faith at all. It was his faith. You understand? Glory to God. We can't take credit for any of this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We feel so important when something happens. And probably you don't, but sometimes you, but you know, life has a way of knocking that any pride or anything like that right out of you. So don't get, what do you got that God didn't give you? And you know what? Sometimes you think, well, I prayed for that person and this happened. And then somebody will say, well, they came to me and I prayed for them. You think, glory to God. Isn't that good? See, Jesus is the only hero of this story. He is. Hallelujah. So if you're going to be accountable for your sins, you're going to have to die. To be accountable for your sins, it means it will cost your life. The wages of sin is death. See, we were tried and found guilty. The penalty was death. Jesus showed up and paid your debt. In fact, he overpaid it. It would be like if you owed $1 million and he came and gave him a check for $5 million. You understand? He overpaid. Hallelujah. See, I was told by preachers that I'd be judged for my sins. No, no, no. The judgment for your sins and mine was placed on our Savior. My sin has already been judged, glory to God, and it's been paid for. You understand? Hallelujah. What about judgment day? Well, there will be a judgment day for those who didn't receive the payment for their sins. There will be a time when we'll go before the Lord to get our rewards. But we are saved already. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. See, in John 10:28, it says, and I give unto them. Now pay attention to what you're reading. Don't just skip over it. Look at it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never. Did he say never? They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, glory to God. See, nobody can take me away from Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You understand? Isn't that good? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody could say glory. Pretty weak. I'm talking to you about having eternal life and already having it. And you passed from death unto life already. That's what he said. I don't have to worry about one day going to hell. I don't have to worry about one day missing it so bad that I slip off. Glory to God. No, he said, verily, verily. And when he said, verily, verily, that means listen. Sit up and listen. Truly, truly, surely, surely. I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now you've heard it. And believe on him that sent me. Hallelujah. You have everlasting life and shall not come under condemnation. See, the devil comes with all that condemning. You don't have to take that. But he said, you're already passed from death unto life. I've done all the dying I'm ever going to do. Hallelujah. One day, I'll just slip out of this body and go right on to be with Jesus. Now, if Jesus paid for your sins and took the penalty, then for God to make you pay, the world would call that double jeopardy. Once you've been charged with a certain crime and they declare you to be innocent, they can't try you for that crime again. In the name of Jesus, your sins have already been taken care of. It has already been paid for. There will be no double jeopardy here. God no longer looks at you. He looks at your lamb. Hallelujah. And what he sees is worthy. Isn't that good? Glory to God. See, I'm telling you, you just are so concerned going up there asking God to forgive you because you did it again. And he's not going to, when you come to him, he's not going to look at you. He's just going to look at your lamb. You understand? Because the lamb already paid for that sin. Oh, that's good. That's good. See, if you know that, then it's easy to get healed. Hallelujah. See, when he looks at the lamb, what he sees is worthy. Worthy. This is good news. I used to worry that I wasn't going to do good enough things to get to heaven. Let me tell you this. How can you go to hell when Christ has seated you at the right hand with the Father? Do you understand? Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 2:4. It says, but God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together. That means he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you're seated. You think he's going to jerk you off the throne and throw you into hell? No. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on, people. Glory to God. Are you asleep? Do I have to throw my Bible out there? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He's already raised you up together. He's made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're seated up there. Once you went up there, bless God, you don't have to worry about going to hell. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. See, it's all through Jesus. It's all through him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. See, we are born again, seated with him right now in heavenly places. You say, well, I don't understand how if he's in me and I'm in him and I'm here on this earth, yet you're telling me I'm seated with him. Let me tell you something. You can't get that with your head, but you can get it with your spirit. You understand? Just grab that with your spirit. You can understand things in your spirit that you can't get with your head. Hallelujah. See, we're born again. We're seated with him right now in heavenly places. So he's not going to allow you to sit there till you die and then jerk you off the seat and send you to hell. He ain't going to do that. He told you in John that you already have eternal life. Oh, people, do you see how much God loves us? Do you see how much Jesus loves us? I'm seated with him. What does it mean to be with him? What does that mean? Remember last week I told you that I think I wrote my name on a little card here someplace. Yeah, here. This is Evelyn Gibson, and this is Jesus right here. And you know what? Well, let's make it be this. That way, I'm going to put Evelyn Gibson in Jesus. Zip it up, because we're sealed. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost. You understand? He said we're sealed by the Spirit of God. So this is me. Wherever this thing goes, Evelyn Gibson goes. Hallelujah, because I'm in there. Man, if that thing falls down, Evelyn Gibson's in there. He don't fall down. Jesus don't fall down. If the thing goes up, I'm going up with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. As this thing is, so am I, because I'm in there. He's not sick. He's not worried. He's not troubled. He's not in pain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People have got healed. Just taking that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever happens to him happens to me. And he's not going to hell again, okay? Hallelujah. He did his job once and for all, and I'm in him and he's in me. He promised to never leave me, so we're stuck together for all times. Glory to God. I'm in there. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ Jesus. When he died, you died. When he sat down, you sat down. Hallelujah. You know, and people those religious spirits hate this. You know, that's heresy. No, I'm teaching you what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Religion has taught something else. Religion has just made a mess. You know, religion is man's idea of what God wants. But this is the truth. And I don't know why we didn't see it years ago. But bless God, I see it now. So you say, well, then I can just go out and sin and do anything I want to do. God forbid, just like Paul said, God forbid. Let me tell you something. Did anybody come here tonight to see how close to the edge you can live? See how much sin you can get into before you go to hell? No, I'm not looking for a way to go to hell or sin. I'm not looking for a way to see how much I can sin and see how close to the edge I can live. I'm looking for a way to get out of sin. I don't want to hurt my Savior. I don't want to do things that'll open it up to my generation where these things come in. I want to live before God as close to him as I can live. Hallelujah. I want to get before him and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. So I'm not looking away to sin. I'm looking for a way to just live closer to Jesus. My goodness, if you really got saved and really loved Jesus, I know your old body wants to do things, you know, but you don't have to let it do everything it wants to do. You know, if you've been a drug addict, you may need to get some deliverance and get that out of you. If you've been used to doing things, bless God, this old body still wants to do them. And don't think just because you got saved, your body ain't the part that got saved. Now, I know that's not good English, but it's not the part that got saved. It's your spirit. And that spirit man in there is perfect. Hallelujah. And he's sealed with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you see how easy it is to get healed? Jesus loves you. As he is, so are you. Hallelujah. Well, I know people that they went hungry and they died. Well, you know what? I know some people too. But I'm not basing what I believe on what happened to anybody. I'm basing what I believe on the Word of God. And my Bible tells me that, bless God, by his stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. Bless God. I'm in Jesus. Hallelujah. Does that sound like good news to you? That's what Paul called the gospel. Now, let me tell you why he called it the gospel. What he did was once and for all times. Jesus shed his blood. He paid for your sins. It was a done deal. God is not sending Jesus to the cross every time you sin. He'd have to stay on the cross if that was true. Pastor Kevin, what did he say? Get it, rock. You know, when they were, last Sunday he was telling about when he was a kid in camp and they get this rock and write their sin on it. I told Sherry I'd have to get a boulder to put all mine on there. I'd have had to get a boulder and have some help throwing it in. Anyway, but thank God, you know, no matter how, though your sins be as scarlet, be as white as snow. He said, whom much is forgiven, he loves much. Hallelujah. See, some people just don't realize how much they were forgiven. Glory to God. I didn't do some of the things people have done, but I was still a sinner, you understand? And I did enough. Hallelujah. God is not sending Jesus to the cross every time you sin. See, now there used to be a song that they sang in a church where I used to go, and it said, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. Well, I ask you, what good would that have done anybody? If you had been on the cross, we'd all still be in a mess, you know? What he did was for all times. He forgave you of your past sins. He forgave you of your present sins. Now, people don't have a problem with that. Oh, yeah. God will forgive you of your past sins. He'll forgive you of your present sins. But he also forgave you of your future sins. Now, watch this. Think with me a little while. When Jesus died for all mankind, were all your sins future sins? Were they? Oh, glory, isn't that good? Hallelujah. All your sins, everyone you'd ever commit, when he went on the cross, he took care of them all. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Tell that old religious spirit to get out and get the truth. It won't cause you to want to sin. It's going to cause you to want to live closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus died for all mankind, all your sins were future sins. Is that not true? Hallelujah. So why do we have a problem with that? I'm not saying you can sin all you want. I told you that. I will say what Paul did. God forbid. How can you continue in sin now that grace has abounded? You keep seeing grace as a thing that just lets you sin as much as you want. Well, that's not what it's all about. Hallelujah. People who've had a real relationship with Jesus, you may fight with your flesh. I knew a man who was an alcoholic, and bless his heart, he came and got saved, but he just couldn't kick that alcohol. And I'm telling you, he would get drunk, and he'd cry, and he hated it. See, that's the difference. You may sin, but you hate it. And one night, he got a gun, and he was going to kill himself. And he put the gun to his head, and he said, God, I can't live this. And the Lord spoke to him and delivered him that night. Hallelujah. You know, it's all Jesus. You understand? It's all him. We can't do it. But when you get desperate, hallelujah, when you get desperate, and see, God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. So man looks and sees what you're doing, but God looks at your intent. God knows I don't want to do some of these things. God knows. And I'm not practicing sin, okay? But sometimes I have thoughts that are not pure. Oh. I hope I didn't bust your bubble. But sometimes, you know, and I think bad things. I think I should have told them something or other. You know, I should have just smacked them. You know, you think that. But bless God, you know, that's not in my heart. I don't want to do those things. I want to live for Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Is it helping you? Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. See, now you ask, what has this got to do with healing? See, I've told you time and time again that your sin is not any of the devil's business. So sin is no longer the issue. You understand? That's what we thought. Sin, 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 sin. No, righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. See, and your sin is none of the devil's business. You know why? Because Jesus took care of your sin. I mean, it's all taken care of. So what does the devil got any business digging around behind the cross? Just tell him to shut up and get out. You know? Hallelujah. Bless God. The issue is, what am I going to do with this Jesus? Now you ask, what has that got to do with healing? Everything. When you understand this, you won't have a problem receiving healing and health. People think sin is always the issue. But you know what? That's called sin consciousness. When you got born again, you became the righteousness of God in Christ. So you should be more righteous consciousness, or righteousness conscious, than you are sin conscious. Get hold of the good news. I know people who start their day asking for forgiveness for sins they haven't even committed yet. Come on. Hallelujah. People do that. Why would they do that? They're stuck on all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, see, if you'll read the whole chapter of Romans 3 there, you can't take it out of context. Don't take the text out of the context. You'll be listening. You know, context, if you take the text out, you got con. The devil has conned us. We've all been conned. Hallelujah. So in Romans 3:20, and you know what? I'll bet every single one of you can recite Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Come on, say it with me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of you know that. But let me tell you the scriptures before it. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, and there is no difference. You see, he's talking about righteousness. Do you see that? Then the next verse says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what were they talking about there? Righteousness. There's no difference between the righteous and sin. What he's saying there, I'm talking about to be taken care of. What he is saying, he's saying since all who believe can become righteous, then all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, they can all be righteous. You understand? That's what he's saying. Verse 24, being freely justified by his grace through redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He's not telling you, oh, you're a big sinner and you're going to hell. That's not what, yes, all have sinned. Yes, but all need a Savior. And yes, if you'll accept the righteousness of God for your sin, then bless God, you'll be freely justified by his grace. There's redemption, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Do you see that's all about righteousness? Only one verse there is talking about sin, but we all memorize that. That's part of the Romans road. Hallelujah. Do you see that this is talking about forgiveness and righteousness, and we've made it about sin? Hallelujah. Everybody knows Romans 3:23, but few know the other verses. People, this has set me free not to sin, but to live victorious, to live without fear of not being saved and not being healed, that God might not heal me. No, no. See, you don't have to have that because you can know that he healed you at Calvary. This gives me the assurance for my salvation. Denominations have fussed over this for years. Are you teaching once saved, always saved? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I am saved. And there was a day when I got saved. I'm still saved, and I shall remain saved. You understand? Now, can you walk away from God? That's another subject. I have no idea. I'm not interested in that. I'm not walking away from God. I've lived for God too many years. 47. Almost 47. Glory to God. The keeping power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In 47 years, never laid my head on the pillow and been lost. For 7.5 years, I thought it was. Wait till I get back to church on Sunday. I'll get back to that altar and get saved again. Which sin is going to keep you out of heaven? It's that sin of not receiving Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I tell you, I am saved. I got saved. I'm still saved, and I shall remain saved. I'm committed to Jesus Christ. I love him with all my heart. And my desire is not to see how much I can sin and get away with it. I don't want to see how close to the edge I can live without falling in. I just want to please my Savior. But I can't please him or do anything else for him if I'm continually worrying about my standing with him. You understand that? Does this make sense? Am I helping anybody? Hallelujah. See, I wish somebody had taught me this 47 years ago. If all have sinned, then all can be righteous if you just believe. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. What did you do to become a sinner? You just got born. The Bible says, because of what Adam did, we were all born into sin. We were all born sinners. But because of what this one man, Jesus, did, we can all be righteous. We were born righteous. We didn't do anything to become a sinner, and you can't do anything to become righteous. You got to let Jesus do it for you. Hallelujah. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's me. That's me. Hallelujah. Now, do you see that if he did all that for you, he surely wants you healed? Hallelujah. People were born in this world sinners, but all that can change by what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And that's not all he did. 1 Peter 2:24 in the Message Bible, it says, this is the kind of life you've been invited into, the kind of life that Jesus lived. He suffered everything that come his way so that you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. See, we can walk like he walked. Hallelujah. Because God's just looking at him. Hallelujah. And the more you know this, the less attraction sin has to you. You understand that? He never did one thing wrong. He never said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence. This is the message. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. He used his servant body to carry sins to the cross so that we could be rid of sin and free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you're named and kept for the good by the shepherd of your souls. Glory to God. Did you hear that? That's who he said you are. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory. 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In the New American Standard, it says, and he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. Did it say you were? Hallelujah. His wounds became my healing. Do you see that? This is good news, people. This is the good news of what Jesus has done. Galatians 1:4, the New American said, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. Oh, people, this is so good. Verse 6, I'm amazed that you so quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, see, this all has to be free. If I have anything to do to earn it, I'm in trouble. So I ask you this, what can you possibly do for Jesus? What do you have that he wants? Only your life. God wanted a family, and Jesus made it possible for us to be part of the family. Now all we have to do is accept it. Now let me ask you this. What if a couple went to an orphanage and they adopted a small child? They take that child home and make it a part of their life. They buy it clothes, they feed it, they love on it, they do everything the child needs. But the child says to them, "What do I owe you? How can I make this up to you? You can't possibly love me, because don't you see I was born to a mother who was a drug addict and a prostitute? All my family were terrible sinners. There's no way I can be a part of this family." This is this baby that he's taken home and adopted. But the father says, "It's okay. I adopted you. I gave you a new heritage. You're part of the family now. You have a new start. We'll raise you like our own because you are. The adoption is sealed, and no one can go back and see anything in your past." But the child says, "No, I have to do something to make it up to you. I can't sit on your lap. I don't deserve it. I can't eat your good food. I don't deserve it. Just let me remain sick because I don't deserve to be healed." Come on. Do you see that the father's hands are tied? The child is his, but he won't accept that. The father has signed the adoption papers and sealed it in the court system. All has been done, but the child lets his guilt and condemnation come between him and his father. Isn't that good? The Lord gave me that last night as I was just saying, I thought, wow, that's so good. That's what we do, folks. The Father has adopted us. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." Hallelujah. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." We're part of the family, people. Our past has been blotted out. You understand that? It's been blotted out. We have all we need to be victorious, healed, prospered, but we're still trying to pay for it. Do you see that if that child is still a baby, there's no way he can pay the father to take him in? If the child is 6 years old, how can he pay for that? If the man is 60 and the father has taken care of him all these years, how can he pay that debt? You just have to accept the goodness of God. That's what we're going to have to do. The Father set it up that way, and all you have to do is receive what's already been done. You didn't choose him, he chose you. And this was one of my favorite scriptures, John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." He appointed you. Glory to God, the Father appointed you to go forth and bear good fruit. And that your fruit is not sinning. We're supposed to bear fruit, love, joy, peace, goodness. You know, let that come into us. "And that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, he told you who you are. Told you you didn't choose him. He chose you. He told you you're mine. I've sealed you. "So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Whatever. Does he really say that? Is healing a whatever? He didn't say, "I choose you, and you may or may not bear fruit." He said he wanted us to bear fruit. And we can if we'll only listen to him and be willing. John 15:7, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done unto you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so that you prove to be my disciples." It sounds like a love relationship to me. He chose me, and all I have to do to succeed is accept it. He said, "I love you enough to take care of all this. I made all the arrangements. All you have to do is stay in the family." Pastor Kevin said, "Stay on the shoulders." Hallelujah. I love that. Didn't you? Haven't you just loved this series? It's been so good. Hallelujah. He said, "Just stay in the family. Stop trying to earn your way. I paid for it already. How about if I went to college and somebody paid my tuition when I got there? I went to pay my bill and they tell me it's already been paid. But I tell them, no, I got to pay my own way." Wouldn't that be a crock? That'd be crazy. You know, they think it's crazy. John 15:9, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love." John 17:23. Glory. See, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, I'm giving you a couple of scriptures on each thing. "I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." Oh, glory to God. Somebody ought to get up and holler. Whew. What could I possibly do to deserve what I have? Jesus favored me. The grace of Christ is the gospel. This unearned favor that has been extended to us that we didn't deserve, couldn't pay for it. This is the good news of the gospel. The favor is called grace. Don't let anybody pervert the grace of God. Healing, prosperity, longevity, peace, joy, victory, well-being have all been made available by this gospel of grace. We've just strived to get what we can freely get. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what he said. See, I want you to get this so sewn down in your heart that you don't have to ask me why you're not healed. You'll know that healing is yours, and all you have to do is present yourself before the Father and receive all he's provided in this gospel of grace, this good news. Now, I believe that we're about to see a day when things are going to get easier. I told you I just read this book by John G. Lake, and he was way beyond his time. I mean, he saw things that we didn't see. You know, it excited me that he didn't struggle as to whether it was God's will or not. He didn't wrestle with that. He found it in the Word, and he acted on it. They had 7 members of their family, brothers and sisters, die with awful disease before he found the truth. But once he found it, his brother who was dying, they took him to a healing house, and he was healed when they prayed. And then he had a sister who had 4 or 5 cancers, and she was instantly healed. And then his wife had a lung disease and was on her deathbed, and she was raised up. Now, this was after they'd buried all 7 of their brothers and sisters. When he found out it was in the Word and God wanted him healed, they just believed it and received it. I think the church has taken hold of doubt and unbelief, and it's taken us years to loosen the grip of unbelief and lies that we've been told by the church. But, honey, we got hold of the truth now, so hold on. We're about to be inundated with healing and miracles. I believe that. In September, we're going to do a healing encounter. And so I want you guys to begin to start believing now that when we do that healing encounter, that people are going to come from all over town and get healed. People are going to hear about people getting healed and come. Hallelujah. And nobody will be glorified but Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, he saw miracles because he let go of the world and believed God. We need to believe God. The gospel is not a whole bunch of things that we have to do to qualify. God set this thing up, and he sent Jesus to redeem us from the law. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace of God has made everything we'll ever need available to us. So I want to read that first scripture to you again. I'm almost done. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So do you see that the gospel of Christ is the gospel of grace? And it's the power of God. Glory to God. It's teaching and believing the good news. I'll give you the power of God to get into this salvation. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Sozos, healing, prosperity, well-being, eternal life, if you will believe it. To everyone who believes, no matter who you are. That's what he said. So I challenge you. I just challenge you over this summer. Start to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go back and read it. Pastor Kevin said once that he went through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and wrote down every one of the words. And he said, now I can go anywhere in the Bible and get revelation. You know why? Because he got to know Jesus. He got to know him. And Jesus is the Word. So anywhere he goes in the Word, Jesus just reveals himself. Hallelujah. See, Jesus he healed all who came to him. He didn't heal everybody in Jerusalem or everybody in Judea. It said everybody that came to him, he healed all. Hallelujah. He was moved with compassion and healed their sick. He raised their dead. He caused blind eyes to see and deaf ears to hear. The cripple got up and walked. He is a healing, compassionate Jesus, and he loves you, and he's still doing on this earth what he did when he walked here. You understand that? He told us, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's Romans 10:8. If, you know, we say God will heal. And then we tell people he won't. What to do if he don't? I mean, I've seen people get, I was in a church one night. This woman preached a greatest faith message I ever heard. And I thought, wow, that's good. This has been years ago. So I went up to her. And she said, what? I said, well, I want you to pray for me, what you just preached. She wouldn't do it. She didn't believe what you preached. Hallelujah. I believed it. Hallelujah. And I got healed. But she didn't believe what she preached. So let's begin to believe what we preach, people. Hallelujah. If the word says it, put some faith in what he's done and receive all he has for you. And you know what? We're going to pray for the sick tonight. And I'm going to ask my team to come up. And we're going to pray for you. If you want healing, if you don't need healing and you don't want to get prayed for, that's okay. But I wanted to leave time tonight to pray for you. So we already had a brother over here. Is that okay if I tell that? Hallelujah. We laid hands on him and just put your hand up so they know who you are. He got filled with the Holy Ghost over here a while ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. It's not just them little kids that get filled. Boy, just anybody that come to Jesus and want him to fill him, he will. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand? And I'm going to dismiss you, and you can go if you need to. Thank you for coming out on a night like this. I'm so thankful that you chose to be here. That's just so good. It just always amazes me that people come listen, but they're listening to the Word of God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. Father, I ask God that you will bless these, your people. God, I've taught the Word like you gave it to me. And Father, you said signs and wonders will follow the Word. So now, God, we expect people to go out. We prayed that before, and Marge prayed that when she prayed. Before we ever started, we prayed that nobody would come in here and leave the same as they came. So, God, if it's a mental condition, if it's an emotional condition, if it's a physical condition, if it's a financial condition, God, I believe that you're the healer. And I believe that as you are, so are we in this world. So God, I just stir that faith tonight. And God, I believe that as we lay hands on people, they will change. That their bodies will be healed and people will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So now I ask God that you bless each one, keep them safe, go before them, level mountains and make crooked places straight. And God, cause them to come back next week with a testimony on their lips of what a healing God has done. In Jesus' name, amen.